Okay.
Good morning, everybody. If you take a look, just as a reminder on Kuf Nun Hey, Kuf Nun Hey, Folio 155B, it comes off of the Mishnah, which is towards the top of the Amud, but we're going to go to the bottom, like 2, 4, 7 lines in the bottom. Here we go. Again, our malacha is lush, which is a very difficult malacha to understand, and we'll see why. And we'll even see how it plays out halachically in a few minutes. Here we go. So it's the bottom by the two dots. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Amrisa Kame. I went and I said the following in front of Damar, and I asked, who was, by the way, this Mars, you don't see that here, but you see it earlier, is Rav Yosef. Masnisin Mane. Who is this Mishnah like? Who does it go according to? Amar Li, and he told me, I'll tell you what Mishnah is according to. By the way, which Mishnah are we referring to? We're referring to our Mishnah. And what does our Mishnah say? Again, just to focus and hone in on exactly what we're concerned about. The Mishnah says, Nosini Mayim Lamorsin. We're allowed to add water to bran. But we're not allowed to govdu. We're not allowed to knead it. We're not allowed to knead it. It's okay. Right? Okay? So on that Mishnah says, Abaye, who is this Mishnah like? Rabbi Yossi says, I'll tell you the Mishnah's like. That Mishnah's like Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Why are you assuming this Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda? I'll explain to you why I think this Mishnah is like according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Because we learned in a Braisa, Echad no tena tekamach, the Echad no tena techol ma'im, we'll call him person A adds flour, person B throws water over it, Acharon chayav, only the person who added the water is in fact chayav. That's according to who? According to Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda argues and says, "Inu chayav ad sheyigbo." A person is only chayav until they actually need it. Meaning that second person, if he did something rabbinic, that's for now we're not so sure. But he's not chayav, meaning he won't be chayav if he did it intentionally to bring a korban. And if he did it by accident to bring a korban, if he did it on purpose to be chayav karis, meaning he transgressed the biblical prohibition. This is the doraisa of lash. Okay, so that's a machloka. Do you just have to add the water? Or do you have to stir it up, knead it up? Right? Now, Natan said last week, I don't know if he remembers, maybe he does, I'm not so sure, he wanted to suggest that, I don't know if he does, I don't know, maybe he doesn't remember, I don't know, that Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda wants to even argue that even kneading it isn't sufficient, based on the language ad, that he also needs to be involved in the process, not just kneading it, but even throwing in the water. Natan, do you remember that? Okay. Dilma, Rajigubo. Okay, that's period. That's the end of the, that's the quote. Okay. On this, the Gemara is going to ask, again, what are we trying to prove? Who's the author of our Mishnah? What did we answer? The author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. How do we know? Because of a Braita. Meaning, our Braita says what? You're allowed to add water to bran. You're allowed to add, you're not allowed to, Yigbo. You're not allowed to knead it. You're not allowed to press it and bring it together. But by the way, I don't know if I have to explain. What does kneading mean? Kneading like the dough. When you knead the dough, what are you doing? You're in front of the chalpeg Friday night, Thursday night. You know what kneading is, right? So when you get your hands in and you bring it all together, right? So according to Yossi Bar Yehuda, why you're allowed to put water on bran? Because that's, you're only chayav when you yigbo, when you actually need it. So it makes a lot of sense. We have a braita, matches up to our Mishnah, it makes sense. Both cases, you're allowed to add the water. One case it might be bran, one case it might be regular flour. And when you actually chayav, in both cases, you're only chayav when you what? Yigbo, and when you need something. It appears it lines up very nicely. Well, you're not so sure this Mishnah is. It's an anonymous Mishnah. We have a braita that has a name to it. Great, let's line up this braita, who we know who it is, and say, great, we could line that up to our Mishnah, who is an unnamed Mishnah. Okay? On this, the Gemara is going to ask, not so simple, not so simple. Dilma, Ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Maybe we want to suggest that Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, what's he really saying? He wants to make, when does he say that only chavat sheyigbo? That's only in a situation with what? Lo ka'amar Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Hatam ela kemach davar gibelhu. Ava mor son love bar gibelhu. So we wanted to suggest that maybe there's a distinction. There's something which is called a bar gibel. So literally, bar means the son of. Okay, but it doesn't mean something which is needed. Meaning, this is an expression that something which is usually needed, right? So flour and water together, that's usually needed. Bran is not usually needed. Why not? Because bran is a coarse item. So if you add water to bran, you're not going to get that same type of texture like you would get if you add water to flour. You add water to flour, it turns into what we call dough. Dough is kneadable. Whereas adding water to bran, it's not, meaning clearly it says you can knead it. Actually, right by the, when you throw it out, actually the case it's referring to is throwing out the chicken seed. So you could, but it's not usually done, right? It's like something which is uncommon to knead. Uncommon to need. So maybe our Havamina, which heads up, it'll be rejected. Our Havamina is to say, when does Rabbi, not so, when does he say that you're allowed to, when does he say that you are only chayav when you need it? That's on something which is a bar gibel, meaning flour. Right, this bright that we quoted. But when do we say that, in our case, by the chicken, by the bran, in such a situation, why are we assuming that there he permits it? Maybe he would also agree with Rebbe that it's asur. Meaning, that will be more machmir by something which is not usually needable. Very strange havamina, right? Again, when it comes to something, we know a fact. Breita, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, you're only chayav when you need the flour. That water was added to it. What about a case where you have bran, that water was added to it? So who's the author who says Rechav when you do Gibel? We want to assume. What are you talking about? Line it up. Yossi bar Yehuda would fit very nicely with our Mishnah. We question that Havamina to say, well, maybe he only says Rechav when it's bar Gibel. Something which is not bar Gibel, like our Mishnah, maybe we can't extrapolate that it would in fact be equated to our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. No, what are you talking about? Will be more machmir by something which is not a bar gibel? Afilu Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda mode. No, what are you? That was the end of the question, right? Afilu Rabbi Yossi, meaning what's he mode? He'd be mode that he'd be chayav. In which case, he wouldn't line up with our Mishnah. Lo, sagadatach. We cannot assume that. Why not? Titanya. Behedia, we have an explicit braita that's going to line up with our Mishnah. So we tried to bring another braita that potentially could line up. Now we have an explicit one. Ein notni mayim lemorsin. Divrei Rabbi, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Amer, notni mayim lemorsin. So we see literally the exact same case. Exact same as our Mishnah is found in a braita. So it's odd, no? It's very strange. And I don't really have a good answer for this. Why do we attempt, you know, we want to find out who's the author of the Mishnah. Why you're bringing a case which is not the same, trying to extrapolate, then eventually you're like, okay, fine, I can't extrapolate, let me bring the exact same case of a Mishnah and line that up. I mean, so the only, you follow? Again, we tried to bring Havmina to a flour and water situation where they'll, and extrapolate our Mishnah. We potentially rejected that, and we said maybe you can't draw an association. So what do they bring as a proof? Literally, our Mishnah cited in a braita. So why don't you just bring that to begin with? It would have solved a lot of problems. I didn't see anyone who commented on this. At least not immediately. So I was thinking about it. Anyone want to suggest why, from a methodology perspective, why would the Gemara try at first to bring a case of flour and water where Rebbe holds that if you bring the water, you're chayav, and Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda holds only if you need it together, you're chayav. And take that case and extrapolate to our Mishnah. Why would you do that as opposed to a braita, which eventually we'll bring anyways, which is mamash exact same case? What might be the Havmina to choose a different case versus the case that completely lines up?
Teach an extra braita?
Okay, so, by the way, very good. Meaning, it's very convenient. If you're able to, and I think this actually makes a lot of sense, you want to learn more brightas. Why? Because maybe they weren't well-known, they didn't make it into the Mishnah, right? So there might be an advantage of perhaps citing another brighta. Good. There's another reason. I don't know if this is a good reason. That's what I was thinking. But actually, that brighta is quoted on Daf Yud Chet as well. I didn't expect anyone to know that. Right? That's quoted on Daf Yud Chet as well. Now, so I don't know, right? And this is on Daf. So maybe we're going to cite a brighta that was already cited, right? Why, you know, on the other hand, let's bring a brighta that we've already said before. The problem is there's like literally two lines. We just bring the brighta in for 2 seconds and that's it. So maybe, again, I don't know. Is that first you want to cite a brighta that was already quoted, which is a consistency. Okay. The third Havmina that I had was maybe also, you know, you want to bring a case. What's the classic case of kneading? Give me a vanilla case of kneading is dope, right? You can't get a more fundamental, basic, practical, you know, let's put it this way. I don't usually ever make challah at the challah bakes, right? But let's just say my wife does. Well, I mean, she prepares all dough, well, her thing of dough ahead of time. But I can't imagine my wife does any other kneading besides that, right? Meaning, like, it's not like she's kneading, you know, more so. Like, in the modern, especially in the modern world today, imagine the olden days, the most common thing was, again, what do? You bring the most common case, right? And you see if that works, so. Okay. Those are all good suggestions. Let's continue.
But by bringing cases that are not as common, you learn more about what brand is and what makes modern.
So again, remember, so our Mishnah brought the brand case. So now for a comparison, let's compare the vanilla case. That's called flour and water, right? If there's a potential challenge with that, okay, we'll go find the brighta that Mamash aligns. But let's first bring either another brighta, A, because it was quoted earlier, B, because increases the scope of brightas, or C, because it's the most common case. It's the most common case, right? Okay. Let's go on. Fine. Bottom of the page. Tan Rabbanan. Ein gov. Okay, now, so that's the end, and that's what we did already last week. That is the end of the first part of the Gemara. Okay? Let's continue on in the Gemara because it's going to get a very, very complex discussion, and you got to stay with the Havmina, the Maskana. You got to go. This is going to be complicated, okay? And I'm going to go super slow, and you tell me what you think is happening, okay? You got to really, every word is complicated. Here we go. Tarnabana. In Govlin Eta Kali. Okay, now what's Kali? Look at Rashi. Kaliva Carmel, right? Says Rashi. Here we go. Kemach shel tvuah. So this brayta told me that you're not allowed to govli, not allowed to knead this type of kemach. What type of kemach is it? So it's flour. Shel tvuah. So it's classic flour. She nit yavsha. That was dried out. So how would you dry out tvuah? What would you do to it? Put it in the oven. So you heat up kernels of wheat, okay? What did you do? You then turned it into flour, okay? So how would you do that? By grinding it, right? That's tochein. Now, kishehein kleyopa tanur, but when they're in the oven, what do you do? Put them in the oven. No, it actually tells you. It actually tells you. Dried it up by using the oven. For oto kemach lo lamatoku. For whatever reason, and do not ask me why, heating up this wheat makes it a little sweeter. It must release some type of enzyme. You know, so like, you know, take an onion and heat up an onion, and what happens to the onion? It turns sweet, it caramelizes. I guess wheat in an oven also caramelizes. I guess we call that popcorn, kind of, maybe. I don't know. Is popcorn? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe it's like a, listen, they didn't have chocolate in those days because they were desperate for like snacks and stuff. I don't know. There's no potato chips or something. Okay? Maybe this is what they threw at Asuchas Torah. You know, I don't know. Afros, they threw at Afros. I don't know. Right? What did they do? I don't know. Maybe they didn't. Okay. What? They threw nuts. They threw nuts. Yeah, they threw nuts. Okay. But this is maybe higher quality. This is like a different, it's like confection, you know.
Sometimes they sell like roasted chickpeas.
Yeah, I guess roasted wheat. Right. I mean, popcorn, isn't that, I mean, it's not kind of popcorn.
Corn.
Corn, okay, that's what I'm saying. It's like the same. Okay, anyways. Same. Well, you know, didn't Boa serve root roasted popcorn? Wasn't it roasted? Is that what he gave her? I think that's what it says in regular root.
When he gave her, like, after she, like,
after she was malakeit, I think he gave her.
I think he gave the bread with the vinegar then. Later he gave
it. In the field, what did he?
Let's see.
Did he give her? I thought it was popcorn.
I don't think he gives her anything then.
The first time, no?
He just says, like, feel free to eat.
Yeah. Right, no, yeah, but then he feeds her.
That
was popcorn.
I think it's later when she has when she
sleeps over.
Okay,
whatever. It's fine.
The Sesharim.
What?
He gives it a barley later. That's in the set. That's in Perek Gimel. Not in Perek Bet.
Okay. He feeds her. Where does he feed her?
The bread,
I guess it's like a because there's a medrash that's in like four different places. Ila yayodea shakatuv machtiv alav. So Torah would have known that something was being written about these people. So there's four cases of that. There's Moshe and Aaron. There's Ruth. There's Reuven with Yosef. I can't remember the fourth one. There's only three. Okay. Meaning that each one would have done a lot more than they did.
Reuven
would have carried Yosef, not just Egypt, right. Reuven would carry Yosef. Aaron, when he greets Moshe, just with Samach, but he didn't. You know, he would have brought a 12-piece marching band.
Okay, all he says is Gashi Halom v'achalta min alechem v'tavalta piteha b'chametz.
Yeah, no, not there. Yeah, no, another time.
I think he just gives a barley. Like, I don't think he gives it.
Fine, that was popcorn. Maybe not.
Midrash, if you know any phrase.
Yeah, I do. Ilah yodea, ilu haya yodea, shakatuv machtiv alav.
Haya yodea.
Shakatuv machtiv alav, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah?
It's on my computer too. It's on my, for sure, I have a file on it in my hard drive somewhere. In my hard drive, I mean OneDrive, but it's my hard drive. Okay, let's forget, let's go on. So, so Ein Govlin at the Kali. So, oh, we didn't finish. What is this? We got distracted. So again, this gets sweet. And what is it? Kemcha de Avshuna. And then I guess it turns into. So I guess if you grind this sweetened kernels, it turns into a type of flour that has a sweeter taste to it. Okay. So Osin Mimenu Shittita or Shesisa. Right. You make this. It's called shittita. I don't have another. There's no other name for it, right? What do? Mishemen umayin umelas rifimbo. So you add, you take this dried out kernel of wheat, you add to it oil, you add to it a little bit of water, and you add to a little bit of salt. And this is called shittita. Okay, some type of. I don't want to call it delicacy because I don't think it's a delicacy at all. It's like a cheap snack. Okay, but that's what it is. So. When we say here Tarnabon in Govlin at the Kali, what are we trying to say? You're not allowed to take this flour that you've produced from this item, and you're not allowed to Govlin, you're not allowed to knead it, because there's oil, there's water, there's flour all mixed together. You're not allowed to do it. Ah, the Yeshomrim Govlin. And the Brita says, no. There are those who say you are allowed to. Now, stop. Before we continue. Why would we be allowed to? I understand the sheet that says you're not allowed to. How in the world can you say you're allowed to? Remember, up until now, no one has permitted govlin. Remember, right? The only difference has been adding water or kneading. But no one has said you're allowed to knead anything, right? You'd be allowed to add water to bran, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But you can't knead it, according to the other Braita. You're not allowed to add water to flour. That's Rebbe. Rebbe Huda says, you are allowed to. You're not allowed to. I mean, again, from a derisive level, you're not allowed to. Need it. So no, all of a sudden, this is our first example of anyone who says you're allowed to need this doughy substance. What's going on here? Right? This is a major shock. Brighta that says you're allowed to knead on Shabbos. How could this be? Here we go. Man! Who is this Brighta? Yishomrim. Amar Reb Chizda. According to Reb Chizda, what? Reb Yossi Bar Yehuda. Reb Yossi Bar Yehuda. Remember, we've never seen anyone who permits it. All of a sudden, we're now ascribing Reb Yossi Bar Yehuda permits kneading. And what did we do? This is not a regular case. We did a shinui. Wow. All of a sudden, we have a brand new curveball. What's our curveball? You're allowed to knead with a shinui. Wow. You're allowed to knead with a shinui? This is shocking.
I found it.
I knew you weren't going to give up. We just want to wait for you. There you go. See? Kelly, and he was there.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And what was that word?
Kali v'tachol v'tashpia v'tocha.
Okay. What's the English translation? What perk is that in? Give him a dollar.
Bed.
Oh, it's in bed. It wasn't bed. It was the first time then. Well, right? Yeah. Wasn't the first time?
I saw the pesuk with the bed and I just thought.
You got excited.
And I thought that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is after that.
It's in the second part of the pesuk.
Second part of the pesuk. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, fine. Good. Okay. I'm going to lose my mind. I knew I should read that somewhere. So, what we see now, there's a brayta that you're allowed to knead with a shinui. Imagine if I told you, shinui, what? Can you write with a shinui in Shabbos? By the way, when it says that you're allowed to, that means...
The brayta or mutter?
Mutter, no? Go back. Very good question. It says, in govlin at the kalit, v'yeshub in govlin. So what does that mean to say? It means to imply the chetchila. You're allowed to knead on Shabbos lechatchila shinui? What's going on here? Okay, Rabbi Yehuda, fine. I agreed. But still, that seems to be shocking. How could we be allowed to knead on Shabbos? What's going on here? Okay, go to Rashi, top of the line. It's in brackets. Usually you don't read things that are in brackets, but we're going to read things that are in brackets. Okay. It's not too common that you see a full, I wouldn't say full Rashi, but a good part, half of the Rashi in a bracket. Probably means it wasn't Rashi, but anyways, it doesn't matter. Because it's helpful. It's helpful, we're going to read it. The E Rebbe, meaning, this can't be Rebbe, right? Meaning, who's the one who says you're allowed to knead on Shabbos? There's no way it can be Rebbe. Why not? Lo mahani le, shinui. Shinui is not going to help. After all, the minatina mayi mechayev. He says even throwing water on flour, you're chayev, minatora. Even something, excuse me, which is not bargibul. Remember, there are two categories. There's something which is bargibul, classic flour. Something which is love bargibul, which is bran. Right? Now, what's the status of Kali?
Did you ask a guess?
Is Kali bargibul or not bargibul? So hold on, we're not sure at this point in time. You feel the problem? So again.
So it's not bargibul, then shinui could be.
Oh, if you want to. What? Oh, maybe it's only a durabban and not bargibul, and we're doing a shinui, and a shinui is gornished. Which, by the way, that's also ziblither to say.
Are there other cases like that?
Well, okay, good. Well, hold on. Good question. Excellent question. So again, let's go through this. So Rashi, or whoever this is telling us that there's no having to say Rebbe, because Rebbe is going to uphold the Arisa by Bar Gibel, and here we go. He's going to even hold love Bar Gibel. Now, this is the only thing to go according to. So if we possibly like Rebbe, then there's nothing to talk about here. But if we hold the Rashi Bar Yehuda, and we hold that you're only chayav when you actually need the item, not when you throw the water on, if it's about needing the item, and the item is not bargibul, you follow why this is so important? Because if the item is not bargibul, and there's a shinui, maybe it's mutar lechatchila. If you hold like Rebbe, are you ready? You ready? So I just want to show the extreme here. Right now, according to this, stop here, close the book, go home for the day. Asur de'oraita, mutar lechatchila. Right? That's if we stop and walk home right now, that's what we left with. That's extreme. Extreme. Right? Kill the guy, give him shlishi. That's the extreme. Okay? Now, although we live in a world where you give people shlishi even if they have machal shah. So that's a different story. Okay. It's true, no? What do you mean? People drive to shul. You don't get a Leon shot? Of course they do. As in the... I listen, in a congregational shul where you have, you know, all sorts of people, a guy shows up twice a year, and a guy shows up five times a year, you know, the Yizkers plus the Shavuos before his father's Yurtzeit, he might have driven there. Right? Do you think they check? Do you think the guy's your sign? I don't know.
They only give the members. Two together.
No, that is not true. What are you talking about?
They only give value to members.
Okay, but there are members who are from. Which one members are not from? I have a guy. This is off topic. There's a guy who lives across the street from me. He just moved out of his house. Shell's last name. He was the original owner of that house. I live in the house that I grew up in, right? So the guy across the street from me, I knew as a teenager. Original owner. The guy was a member of the Bayit. He knew Rabbi Tal. Rabbi Tal was down the block on Bevshire. In those days, in 1984, there were no other shuls in the neighborhood. He lived, he could literally see the house when it was at the Bayit, and then it was built from his. So that's just a member of it. I don't think he ever went, but meaning those types of people, they're not as common anymore now at the Bayit, but 30 years ago, they were very common. Now there's a lot more shuls, there's more options, there's blah, blah, blah. Thornhill's been built up. But 30 years ago, 25 years ago, and even now, you know, your great uncle comes, you know, and you want to give him an aliyah at your bar mitzvah. He's not religious. So, the gabbai doesn't ask, how did he get to shul, right? You don't ask those questions, right? So, what? Yeah, Ellie and Armin, you ask people, how'd you get to shul? Yeah. he makes sure. We have much higher standards, Jelly C minion, than, okay, but I'm saying other people. Yes, this way we know there's no choshesh. We know he lives close by, we know he walked to shul, right? Dave doesn't know. No, sometimes. Okay, so. That's what I'm trying to show you here. That Yossi Bar Yehuda says on this, again, on this kali, on this mixture, on this shatit, is that pronounced? Shatit? Right? Shatita, the shatita, this shatita item, whatever it's called, that you grind and you turn into a flour, that you then, you know, make, there's oil and there's water in there. So even if you want to tell me, and that, by the way, Rashi seems to imply that what? This is love bar gibbo. You realize that, right? This is love bar gibbo, right? Because look again. Let's go back to Rashi. Lo mahane le shinui the medidim man machav afil the medidim to love bar gibbo. Even something which is love bar gibbo, Rabbi hold the right to. I.e., this is a case which is love bar gibbo. Rabbi would say it's the right to. So if you're allowed to do it, it could only be the opinion of Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda.
How is this not bar gibbo? It's literally water and flour.
So it must be, it's a very, right, good question.
With oil and
so it must be that this type of flour is a much coarser, yeah, it's like bran. Bran, I guess, you can also turn into flour. I mean, we know you can because there's food that, right? It must be a coarse, low class, you know.
Is that also just like culturally, like what's acceptable at the time?
It's a very good
now
question.
Now there's all different kinds of flour. Is that?
So I'll tell you the difference. Though. Today, again, we are able to produce, I think, far superior flour today than they used to, right? So it could be that our gibul ability is far superior. I'm not saying like our mothers mostly do those things, but on the factory level, I think perhaps they're done. But it's a good question. Is the status of something which is bar gibul culturally dependent, society dependent? Right? Like if today, now, you know, we do this all the time, you could argue that maybe it is considered bar gibul. It's a good question. I actually never thought of that. Okay, let's see if we can find the proof either way. Okay, let's see. Let's see if we come across something that might help us with that argument. Or at least insight into it. Let's continue. Aval the Rebbe, see the end of that line in Rashi. Aval the Rebbe. Oh, so who must it be? It must be Aval the Rebbe Yossi Bar Yehuda. Therefore, let's continue. The Amar. You see why this is a funny bracket? Like it's almost like. You see what this bracket did? which those last five words are the same words as the Dibur Matzio. So if you didn't have those bracket, you would just read Yossi Bar Yehuda, he da'amar. So it fits very nicely. So the bracket just helps you with that Havamina. So it's a nice bracket to read out loud. So that's why I read it out loud. But you don't have to. It can still flow just in the Dibur Matzio to the Rashi. Da'amar. So again, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, he da'amar, who said, Ad she yigbo, right? Until you actually need it. Hacha govlin kliachar yad. In our case, by the way, when we see the phrase kliachar yad, what does that mean? A phrase kliachar yad means shinui. Very good. Okay. Kidem aforash for eyes of hanimili havidaka mishani. Okay, so that means there's a shinui. So the word shinui and the word kliachar yad are essentially synonymous. Okay. I'm gonna mention something. That I want to just throw out there, you tell me what you think. Would you consider this, you know, there's different things. Not all shinois are created equally. Not all shinois are created equally. And that's important when it comes to Shabbos. And it's a whole, I don't want to spend too much time on halach divisions of shinois, because it can get very complicated. Because the shinois, do we care about the result? Like, or do we care about the effort that it takes? Right? Like, let's face it, writing with one's left hand clearly is a shinois, because the quality, I mean, in my case, my right hand's not very good, but my left hand is far, 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 drastically different. So that, I understand why that's a shinui. That's a shinui both in the action and the result. But let's face it, picking up a telephone, you know, this is, no one picks up telephones anymore, but let's pretend we used to, you remember those olden days, there was like a telephone that would sit on like these cradles? I know that's hard, like those are like so 90s, right? So when you pick up that phone, if you pick it up with your right hand or your left hand, you know, or you turn your phone on. How many of you use your left hand, your weaker hand, to turn your phone on? So, I don't know why this is, and I've tried many, many times. For whatever reason, I can't get my thumb, my right hand thumb, to work as the scanner on my phone. So now I actually, don't ask me why. It's like, you know, first world problems, right? Even though I've added my thumb to my right hand many times, I don't know why. Whatever. I could figure it out, just don't care enough. But, so, the, so now, because of that, I often use my left hand to use my cell phone. Is that a shinui? I'm right-handed, but like opening up an app with your left hand, is that a shinui? You know, so you understand? Unless you argue, no, anything with your weak hand is a shinui, right? But is there a difference in the result if you open up an app with your right hand or left hand? Right? So I don't want to get into it right now, but I just want to throw it out there in terms of shinui in general.
If you use it with your left hand.
Use a shove. Right, if you open it up with your nose, you know what I mean?
No, so. I've done that.
Have you?
Yes.
Because your hands were dirty?
No.
Oh. And when you have your gloves on, I know. Actually, last night I wore gloves. Even the car. You know the screen on the car? This fancy. My wife has like a fancy car. So I was driving it last night, and I couldn't even touch the screen with my gloves.
Really?
I was like, what's going on here? How difficult is life? Okay. Let's go on. So back to our Gemara. Please. Fine. So again, who we're saying that's Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, who is the author of that Braita, who permits with a shinui to govlin what this kali, and it appears clearly from Rashi that this is considered something which is love bar gibul, something which is love bar gibul with a shinui. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says you can need it lechatchila. Rashi says something which is either bar gibul or love bar gibul, iser de oraisa, to need it, the shinui will be irrelevant. Okay? Let's go on. Or, so I should be careful when I say irrelevant, because if you do a shinui, if you do a shinui, you still might have to argue that it's not the raisa, potentially, right? So it doesn't mean the rabbanon. I just realize it now. Although he does say the rabbi lo mahani le shinui. Isn't that interesting? That he's going to say that your shinui. He's going to say it's all the raisa. That a shinui will not help at all. Okay, no, I was right the first time. I'm stick to what I said before. That Rashi is saying, at least in the bracket, whoever that bracket is. Is in fact arguing that a shinui will not help. It's still a doraita. Wow. The shinui will have no impact. It's like a big deal. Okay.
I guess that's water hitting.
So it must be that since you have the totsah, it is about, because again, where's the shinui? The shinui is only in the gibel part. But it doesn't matter. You've already violated your sudoraisa by adding the water. Why not water and the oil? So he would hold that your shinui is totally relevant. Because you're doing the shinui on the part that's, shall we say, too late. Right? Oh, now that you've written already, now you're doing a shinui. Well, that's too late. You've already written, right? When, right? Doesn't matter what your shinui is after you've already written. Your third letter is the shinui. Well, too bad, right? Because you've already written. So, okay. Very good. Let's continue.
What time is it?
Okay, hopefully we can finish. I don't think we can finish it tomorrow. Hechi Mishane. So, now ask the Gemara Hechi Mishane. What does Hechi Mishane mean? What's the shinui? Right? Because remember what we said. We said, the Gemara said before, there was a shinui. Okay, that's nice, shinui, but what's the shinui? Right? What's the shinui? What's considered a shinui? So here we go. Amar Rav Chisda al yad al yad. So, what does that mean?
CPR. It's like
CPR? No.
Okay, so you strength of the upper hand and the lower hand's length of board.
Okay, so the problem is that al yad is actually referring to your hand pouring it out. When you do gibel, small portions at a time. I guess when you need things, you want, like, if you have an amount, it is much more efficient to do the amount in one shot. So what we're saying is, what's a shinui if you do them in small amounts? Now, how small amounts, I have no clue, right? But for whatever reason, you're doing the kneading in a way that would be, everyone would see that's not the usual way to knead these things. Okay? Al-yad, al-yad. That's what it refers to. Let's continue. Vishavin. So, and they all agree. Shebochashin et ha-shatit. There you go. There's that word again. Bishabis. And they all agree that what? So, shebochashin means to stir. A shatit bishabis. That you're allowed to stir. Here's that shatit again. This flour, oil, water combo on Shabbos. What do you mean you're allowed to stir? And then shotim zeitim amitzri. Okay, so the second half is totally irrelevant, not connected to our topic at all. They're just quoting the whole line. Shotim zeitim amitzri is that you're allowed to drink. Zeitim amitzri is some type of beer. That people drink for health reasons. I need a beer. Yeah. It's healthy. It's good for you, right? So the question that you're like, why does he need to say that? Because we have a halacha. You're not allowed to take refuah on Shabbos. You're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. But if it's something which is also edible, you want to have it for medicinal reasons. You're allowed to do it because it's also edible. Okay, that's that. That's what Rashi says. V'shodim zidu mitzri debelav refuah nami mashkehu. That it's also, it's not just for refuah, it's also a mashke, it's also a beverage. And you're allowed to drink things that are also medicinal. So example, a guy wants tea on Shabbos, right? I'm not feeling I want tea. Oh, it's medicine. It's not medicine, meaning it might be medicine. But people drink tea even if you are healthy. So therefore you're allowed to have a tea even if your throat hurts you, which is super common this time of year. Okay? So, but that second half is not our topic. It's the first half that I'm interested in. Said, and by the way, the Shavin is saying that everyone does this. Meaning, both Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Bar Yehuda say that you are allowed to stir your shatit. So now, tell me something. What's the difference between stirring it? And between kneading it.
So you're kneading it, so it's changing the texture.
Okay.
Right? Like if you're stirring it, it's just a drink, right?
So it could be the shatit, and here's the thing. Is shatit something which is usually kneaded? How viscous is the shatit? Sounds like shtia, no? Sounds like, it's not, right? But what exactly is this item? Listen, so I don't really know the answer to this question, but it appears that if you're able to stir it, there can't be too much, what's it called? Too much resistance. Because no one was ever going to say, please stir the flour. You cannot, you never use those words in English. You cannot stir the dough. You never say, please stir the dough. That's called kneading the dough, right? You can't really stir dough. You can stir your soup, you can stir your coffee, but you don't really say stir dough. So it must be that what is this shatit? It must be that there's a lot more liquid to the solid, as opposed to your dough, which clearly is a much more of a solid item than it is a liquid. It's much so your shatit is much more viscous. Okay? So, now it says that we're allowed to stir our shatit. V'amart in govlin. But wait a second. You're allowed to stir your shatit. We just said you're not allowed to knead it. Meaning, careful. Who said that? Like, well, one opinion said you're not allowed to. Meaning, if it's so viscous, and it says you're what? Good, right? So it says now you're allowed to stir your shatit. What are we talking about? What do we just see over here? It says ingo. Turn it around. Ingovlin. It says ingo. You're not allowed to be govlin. So there's an opinion that says that you're not allowed to. So what does it say that everyone says you're allowed to stir it? Shouldn't there be someone who says it's asr? Maybe, wouldn't Rebbe say it's asr to stir your shatit? Why would Rebbe allow stirring shatit? Right? He seems to allow it. Answer?
Is it halamina that everyone would not allow it?
So up until now, we've never seen anybody who says you're allowed to be, meaning, sorry, we've never seen a case that everyone says you're allowed to be govel. In every situation, there's been one guy who hasn't given in. Rabbi has never said you're allowed to. No, 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 no to everything.
Maybe this is a govel, though.
Oh, so the question is, okay, oh, so that's, so the Gemara then says, everyone says you're allowed to stir it. Oh, but you're not allowed to be govel it. So what's the answer? Right, there's a difference between the two. So what's the difference? In govlin. It says, v'amart in govlin. Lo kasha. Not a contradiction. Ha, da'ave, ha, beracha, baraka. One is thick, and one is thin. Wait, what are you thick and thin? Talking about like matzah here? No. Answer? What? There's a difference between your thick dough that you'd never use the word stir because you can't. That's called thick. And in thick, everyone says, sorry, I shouldn't say that. In thick, Rebbe will never allow you to knead it. Oh, we've now made a breakthrough. We have a case that Rebbe will allow kneading. When will Rebbe allow kneading? When it's thin. Right? And that's stirring. Right? So, you're according to Rebbe, I have a case.
He's not actually allowing kneading, though. He's not defining it as kneading. According to Rebbe, it's not a case of kneading.
So, what's the action? If I have a shatit, which clearly has more liquid, it's more viscous than our dough. What would be an example of something that we actually use in practical life?
Soup.
Wait, this is not the right word?
Viscous makes it slower. The more viscous it is, the harder it is to move.
Oh, sorry. Less viscous. Wait.
Yeah, less viscous.
Less viscous, sorry. Less viscous means there's more liquid?
Yeah.
More liquid. Okay, sorry.
I don't remember.
Yeah, obviously neither did I.
I'm in sciences. So
yeah. Okay, wait, so less viscous. Sorry, less
viscous. Water is less viscous than honey.
Water. Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So less viscous. Okay. Got my viscous. Viscosity is mixed up, I guess. Is that a word? I don't even know. It is? Is it really a word?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So, in an item which is... So, this shatit, wait, is less viscous than dough? Is that the right word? Yes? Okay. How come no one corrected me until now? Why don't you say something?
That's what?
This
was the only time.
You haven't used the word yet.
You
haven't
used
it like to compare anything.
Oh, I didn't?
It's viscous.
Oh,
it's viscous.
I see.
It's
okay.
Kind of watery, not watery.
Not watery. Let's just use easier English.
Thick and thin.
Thick and thin. Okay. Well, no. So they do. They use thick and thin. So. What would be an find me an example of something which is okay? So there's gonna be three categories that we're gonna discover. There's gonna be thick, there's gonna be thin, and there's gonna be nothing. Like the classic case of nothing is no one is gonna tell me that you're not allowed to add sugar to coffee because it's a problem of govlin, that you're needing it, right? Because what happens when you stir up your coffee or whatever, your tea, it disappears. So no one's going to say that how could you be, that's, isn't that a violation of lush?
You tell us when like, you like bring the liquid and like,
okay. Like okay, chalent's a good example. Let's say I have a chalent.
Right, because there's that one stage where like, all the top looks very liquidy and then you like sort of mix it in and then like gets more
thin. Right, okay, so why isn't that a violation of lush?
Yeah.
Why isn't that a violation? Okay, by the way, we're not ready to answer that question because right now it might be. But we'll get there. That's a good well, we haven't made enough of a distinction yet in Lush. But I'm trying to figure out this stirring versus kneading. Okay, so you know what? Let's say for now, that let's use cholent as an example, at least potentially, right? Everyone will agree that cholent is not like dough, and everyone's going to agree that cholent is not like sugar and coffee, right? So at least in our, if this applies or not, we have to fine tune it, but at least for now, we could argue, let's say, okay, you can't do that. It's a violation of lash. Okay, is it is or is it isn't? That we have to, we're not halacha lemaisa yet, right? That we're not even close to that yet. So if I'm at the stage of my cholent, so I invite Rebbe, I say, Rebbe, I have a question, I have cholent. Am I allowed to, would I be allowed to mix it all in together? Says Rebbe, or even pour in some liquid into it. Okay, forget the whole bishul kind of problem. Rebbe would say, oh yeah, this is a case of raka, this is a case of thin, this is not a problem of aveh. This is not considered thick. I might need a shinui, right? Right? I might need a shinui, but I'd be allowed to do it because it's only considered raka. Fine, good. At least we can understand it conceptually for now.
Maybe depends on how watery your chalent is.
Right, okay, exactly. Your chalent is. So, nebuch. Okay. Nebuch, watery chalent. Okay.
Even chalent's like.
What?
Is it even chalent that is watery?
It's really stupid. It's really stupid.
Yeah, it's not good though. So. Okay, we only have a couple minutes. Let's finish this. So what does Rebbe hold? That's what I want. So Rebbe says that I'm allowed to, with a shinui, do lush, okay, a stirring or kneading on a mixture that's raka. Now, that we'd have to say the difference between ava and raka is that raka flows, right? Meaning if I want to pour a raka item, by the way, shakti potentially would be a very good example of that, right? That's what it says. Shakti would be a very good example of that. I guess it has more liquid to it, and therefore if I tip it over, it kind of like spills out much more than you'd never say the dough is spilling. I don't know if you'd use such a word. Not.
Or the
dough. Yep. Right, you don't use the term pouring dough, really. Right? Right? You don't usually use that term in English.
What would you say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Pick it up. Take it out. It's a solid.
Yeah.
Right. Solid. Right, it's a solid. Oh, very good. You just said it perfectly. It's a solid. Right? No one's going to say, you know, pick up your cholent, right? You never say that to cholent.
Right.
I mean, with your hand, right? Or even with a ladle, right? You don't ever use that terminology, right? You dole it out. You can never transfer your cholent in one shot. Whereas dough, you can literally pick up the whole dough and transfer it out. Okay? Good. Very good. See, if you don't go to the Jelisi Chalbeg, you don't understand Gemara. Why did David know that? Because he was, okay. You have to practical. You have to be involved in the, you have to be involved in the Oilam. You can't just be involved in the base mattress all the time. You have to be in the kitchen a little bit. You know, you have to know what's going on.
David Torah has enough challah baking.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I'll be David Torah next week, I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. My brother-in-law works there. I think,
really?
Yeah.
His brother-in-law?
He married a couple months ago, so. Oh. He lives across the street, I think, I don't know, nearby. Bar, what's the street called? He just told me the address. Engedi. Yeah, he's on Engedi. Yeah. He didn't go there. Yeah, he's on Engedi.
Thanks.
Yeah.
David's involved in the Yolam, you know?
He's involved, you know. He does, he does. Okay, we have a clock. Okay, so again, just the, you know what? Let's stop here. I'll tell you why. Because now what the Gemara is going to want to say is, okay, give me an example of shinuis, right? Give me an example of shinui. So far we just know that a shinui is good. In the case of raka, shinui works. In the case of for Rebbe, in the case of love bar gibul, shinui works for Rebbe. But we still haven't. There's only one half meal that we said of a shinui, and that's called al yad. A little bit at a time. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to go on to what else could we use as a shinui, and that's where we are. Right? Hechi mishane, right? Give me another example of a shinui, Mirtz Hashem, that's a good thing to do next week. Okay.